look that up as we read together this morning. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I'm so thankful that I get to live in a town by the ocean. And I have this thought every summer. Not so much in winter when the rain's horizontal, but I love the salty summer breeze. I love lying in bed at night and hearing the waves roll in. I love the sunset on the beach and a climate that's mostly temperate, neither excessively hot or cold. But I haven't always lived by the sea. When I was in primary school, my family and I lived in a small town in the Snowy Mountains by the Murray River. And it was while I lived here that I learned this psalm. I could sit in our backyard, I could sit on my swing and say, I lift my eyes to the hills, and the hills were looking back at me. Sitting on the swing and looking at the hills always made me feel very small, but very safe. The seasons would change, but there was something about seeing the mountains which felt very permanent, immovable, settled, and safe. And for the people of God, the hills they are singing about in this psalm are in the control of their Creator, and they are comforting in their enormity and in their protection. But there is a sense of danger, a sense of danger for what is unseen, for what could be lurking in the hills, for what might be waiting for them. Psalms is a book full of prayers and poems and songs. It's been described by some as the songbook of the church. It's described by others as the prayer book of the Bible. The Psalms are the voice of God, spoken through writers and poets, storytellers, prophets, and teachers. And Psalms 120 to 134 are the Psalms of ascent, and they were sung by God's people as they travelled and ascended the hills to Jerusalem three times a year for three major festivals. And they begin in Psalm 120 with a pilgrim in an unfamiliar place, and they end with the people of God gathered in the temple to worship in Psalm 134. These psalms are both literal and metaphorical as they describe a physical journey and a spiritual one. And we also now, as the people of God, are pilgrims in a temporary place. And this psalm has much to teach us about life with God. So if you have somewhere in your life where you are out of place, if you are isolated or alone in your convictions, if you feel that who you are and what you believe might be easy prey for those around you, this psalm has something to offer. So let's have Psalm 121 open as we read and walk through this together. Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Faith encounters trouble. We choose faith and we will find trouble. To lift our eyes to the hills, to look for God's help, is an act of courage. For as much as God is to be found when we lift our gaze off ourselves and look to Him, for these travellers, as much as God is to be found in the hills, so is trouble. To live looking up is to live with great faith. Looking to God and trusting that He is our help in all kinds of trouble requires our faith, because we know, walk in faith and there will be trouble. In this psalm, Psalm 121, trouble is indicated in verse 6. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Imagine we are these travellers. We are taking this journey in the relentless heat of the Middle East. And this is a trek. It is not an easy stroll on a well-kept path. It's dusty and dry and hot. There are not a lot of trees or shade. Dehydration, sunburn, exhaustion, exposure are all very real risks. And we take this journey as families. which means small children and elderly relatives that may be more susceptible to the heat. And we know, living in Australia, the dangers that the sun can represent. It would be tempting to go home. This is a difficult path. But these are God's people, and they have made dangerous journeys before, and they know it is safer to be in the hills seeking the presence of God than it is to stay home and not risk the journey. Maybe not in a physical sense, but absolutely in a spiritual one. As we travel, it becomes nighttime, and there are dangers in the dark. There are no street lights to guide the way, perhaps a few candles which illuminate the next step, but nothing which lights up the whole path. And then there's the danger of the moon. What's dangerous about the moon? If anything, the moon might be lighting the path. And yet people felt they needed God's protection from the moon. One of the picture books that we used to read when we were kids was called Happy Birthday, Moon. And it's a lovely story about a bear who makes friends with the moon. And the bear sits on a hill and calls out, "Hello." And with the help of an echo, the moon calls back, "Hello." And the bear says, "It's my birthday tomorrow." And the moon says, "It's my birthday tomorrow." And the bear ends up buying the moon a hat. And it's a lovely story. And it has never occurred to me in the whole of my life that the moon was something to be feared. But this is perhaps because I was not raised in the ancient Near East. In this time, people had different ideas about the moon than we do today. People believed the moon affected your emotions, some more strongly than for others. The English word lunatic comes from the Latin word luna, which means moon. And the effects of the moon were blamed for things that were less well understood in this time, things like mental illness. And if we read into the ancient history of medicine, we discover that these people and many others felt they had much to fear from the moon. And so they sing, "The Lord watches over us, the Lord will keep us, the sun will not harm us by day, nor the moon by night." And it reminds them over and over, God is always watching and protecting his people from trouble which might cause them harm. These faithful travellers face many external threats on their journey. There is the danger of slipping, of losing their footing and falling, dangers of wild animals roaming at night, dangers of marauders who lurked in the hills looking for easy prey to rob. And as they continue to ascend the hill, they also face dangers from within themselves. They face internal danger for the attention and the affections of their hearts. Further up in the hills, they would pass the Canaanite temple for worshipping all of the false gods. And there are other false religions and places of gathering. The travellers are weary and they're approached and harassed by people who are part of these false religions. And they try to entice the travellers to stop and to come in for immediate relief and gratification. And this takes the travellers off the path, leading them to God and to their people. A battle is waged for the faithfulness of their hearts. Will they stay the path and will their hearts remain true? Psalm 121, verse 3 says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." He will never slumber. He is always alert. He does not get tired. He will not sleep. God is using the language of the psalmist here to remind his people as they travel and to remind us, I am not like other gods. I am not like Baal, the Canaanite god, whose false prophets first have to wake him up before he can help. This is a direct comparison between God who does not sleep and Baal who is always sleeping. He is not like other gods. He is God Almighty, the creator who made the hills, who made the sun, who made the moon. He is not sleeping. He is always watching. And other gods have no comparison to him. And as they pass these other temples, the desire to stop in, the desire to rest, the desire to say enough is strong. It's a test of the heart. Are they willing to remain faithful? Are we willing to remain faithful? Or are we distracted by what is immediate and selfish, but ultimately false? For the people of God, the call to worship him at his temple with their community, the call to remain faithful, the call to be always seeking his presence, means they have a choice to stay on the road or to stray from the path. The temple of God is calling them to life with God, a flourishing life which requires a long obedience in the same direction. It requires being faithful amidst temptation, being faithful to what God asked of them next, and after that, and after that, and after that, for a lifetime. The journey of faith is not an instant gratification of self. It's a long obedience in the same direction. And this is what these weary travellers were learning in a very physical sense as they put one foot in front of the other in the unrelenting heat, as they walked in the dangers of the moonlight, as they avoided distraction to stray from the path for what was tempting in the moment. Do the next faithful thing, one foot in front of the other, on good days and on bad, when we feel weak or strong, alone, isolated or fearful, whether in great wealth or in poverty. The call to be faithful, to walk the path, remains the same for us as it was for these folks who lifted their eyes and raised their voices to echo the promises of God. In a similar way, we have all pursued this kind of faithfulness in the last couple of years. Sometimes faithfulness looks like defiance in the face of all that would seek to steal, kill, destroy, and separate us. And in this defiant faithfulness, we continue to give, continue to serve each other, love each other. We worship wherever we are. We are defiant in prayer as we refuse to stop interceding for our world. And to continue in these things is to be defiant in the face of the circumstances and say, I will not be pulled from the path. I will put one foot in front of the other. I will remain faithful and be faithful to the next right thing. Eugene Peterson wrote a study on the Psalms of Ascent called A Long Obedience in the One Direction. And he says this, if you ever think being a Christian means your troubles are over, you're wrong. No literature is more realistic and honest in facing the hard facts of life than the Bible. At no time is there the faintest suggestion that the life of faith exempts us from difficulties. What it promises is preservation from all of the evil in them. This psalm and the context it's written in appears to be about physical safety and the protection of God. God is our keeper. He is our fiercely protective parent. He never takes his eye from us as we walk this earth. But this psalm is not only about physical life on this earth. And if we take the psalm only at face value, we miss the remarkable promises of God it contains. There is an expression that says, all of the water in all of the oceans cannot sink a single ship unless the water gets inside the ship. And in the same way, all the trouble in all the world cannot harm us unless the trouble gets inside us. In this psalm, we are told over and over, the Lord watches over us. He will keep us from harm. He is our keeper. He is guarding, always watching to make sure the trouble does not get in. God always protects his people. And sometimes this is in a physical way in our lives day to day. You might have your own stories and testimonies of when this is true. We may not even be aware of just how much God has protected our physical lives this side of heaven. God always protects, sometimes from danger we experience here, but always, always in the unseen spiritual realm where danger and threats abound. And this is why it is safer to be in the hills seeking the presence of God than it is to stay home and not risk the journey. Perhaps not in a physical sense, but absolutely in a spiritual one. In verse 3, we read that he will not let our foot slip. And this doesn't mean that we will never stub our toe. It means God will not allow our foot to slip in the spiritual realm, which is so vivid and so real. Our own world is a shadow by comparison. And it is in this world God will let no harm befall us. We will always be safe in the spiritual world where our greatest threats lie, threats to our hope, our belief, our faith, and our love. The author, Beth Moore, says this, God set Adam as caretaker over the garden, but God himself was caretaker of Adam. As surely, thoughtfully, and purposefully as Adam cared for the ground God had given him, God cared for the man he formed with his own two hands. God is the caretaker of you and me. He tends to us, watches over us. He has never entrusted that job to anyone else. And at no time does God abdicate your guardianship to an angel alone, regardless of how mighty. Psalm 121 is all about protection. Protection from evil. spiritual evil. And this protection does not mean that we will not be injured or have illness or experience suffering or death. It means God's purposes cannot be thwarted. We will not be separated from his love, and he will work all things for good. Romans 8:28 and 29 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." God's definition of what is good is us being conformed to the likeness of his son. It's not our comfort and our ease. Our good is not to be liked or accepted. It's not being prosperous or wealthy. It's not having everything go our way. Our definition of good tends to be what is good for us. God's definition of good is about the good of all mankind. We're not called to ourselves, we're called to the world. And God's plan, God's good plan, is to use all things, to conform us to Jesus. God can take our most wretched situations, our greatest losses, our deepest fears and anxieties about the future. God can take anything that happens to us, and because he is so good, he will use it for good. The good God can do in all things is to use all things to conform us to the likeness of Jesus. Jesus was there from before the beginning. He started in glory, and yet to defeat all the things which block us from God, he became defeated. He left glory. He left his place at the right hand of the Father to become poor, to be the child of teenagers. As a man in ministry, he was largely homeless. He had none of the trappings of success of the world. They were like rags to him who came from glory. He was hated, humiliated, and rejected. And when we look to the hills, to us, the hills are worth the journey. At the end of the journey, we find the comfort and the hospitality and the love of the community of God. We find God the protector, defender, and creator. But when Jesus walked to the hill, it was towards a mob who would kill him. There was no welcome from the Father at the top of his hill, only the Father's distance. His foot was allowed to slip. His help did not come. He was not kept from evil. He was assaulted by it. He faced the light of the moon in the garden where he was betrayed, and he was crucified in sweat and heat. Under the harsh sun, he cried out in thirst, which remained unquenched. And the result of all of these things is we cannot be separated or removed from his love. We who do not deserve his goodness can now have our lives shaped by his goodness. We who were defeated now live in his victory. We who were lost and fearful and alone are now found and safe and called children of God. We no longer make pilgrimages to the hills, but we are still on a journey which requires our endurance, our hope, our faith, and our love. A journey in which we will be tempted to give up, to walk away, to leave the hot and dusty path for an easier one. My encouragement today, stay the path. Stay the path knowing there will be trouble. There will be danger. Stay the path. Say the words of the early travelers. My help is from the Lord. The creator of heaven and earth watches over me as a fiercely protective parent. He will not let my foot slip. He will not be caught sleeping when I need him. He will not let trouble steal my hope or my faith or my love. Our journey is not to climb the hills. It is to be more and more conformed to the likeness of Jesus. It is a journey of a long obedience in the same direction. And in this, we will face trouble and fear and danger and death. And yet no harm will come to those who are his own. Our foot will not slip. We are more safe seeking the presence of God on the path than we are staying home and not risking the journey. Comfort zones don't keep your life safe. They keep it small. So lift your eyes, take courage, one foot in front of the other, and stay the path. Let's stand and we'll pray as we finish. Father, we thank you for the words of Psalm 121, and we thank you that they give us something that we can hold on to when days are dark and full of trouble. Lord, we thank you that we can never be separated from your love because of what you have done for us. And we thank you that you are conforming us more and more to the likeness of Jesus, that in everything we experience in our life, you use that for good. You use that to make us more like your Son. And Lord, although those days can be hard, we thank you that you do that for us. We thank you that you let nothing go to waste, that it all is purposeful. Father, we just pray this morning that in these difficult days, when it would be easy to stop, it would be easy to say enough, it would be easy to give in, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to stay the path. We pray that you'd help us to continue to put one foot in front of the other. We pray that we would remember that it is you who uphold us, that you won't let our foot slip, that you are fiercely watching over us. Lord, we thank you for your great, great love. We thank you that there just aren't words to describe how much you love us, how much you have given to us, and how much you direct that towards us. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this psalm. We thank you for what we've learned in this series. And Lord, we just pray that we head out today and we would look to you in faith. We would look to you for all of our answers, that we would look to you for our strength to stay the path. In Jesus' name, amen.